Jesse Cook. That's beautiful, isn't it? 8:01 the time. It's an end-of-week edition, a Friday edition of the Mornings with Ed show on the all-new Voice of Laguna. And first rule of radio is to choke 10 seconds before you go on air. I'm clear now. Had my delicious coffee sip. As we do each and every Friday morning, we are delighted that we welcome the president and CEO of the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce, Aaron Slattery, in with us for a conversation, and it's Chamber Chat. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic.
It's wonderful to see you today.
It's a chill morning this morning.
In more ways than one. It's chill atmospherically, and it's just chill personally, and you're always chill, by the way.
Thank you.
You got a lot of stuff on your plate. There's things going on, and it never shows. It never shows. You are the picture of cool, to be honest with you.
Not always, but, you know.
Thank you. Well, maybe Fridays at 8 is the right time to catch you.
Right.
Maybe that's it. You brought in a fascinating guest that I've been wanting to meet for some time here. It is Nicole Paredo. Nicole is with Art Time Barro. They are here in Laguna Beach now after being in other locations, and we welcome you to the program. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I am excited to have you here today. Welcome. I want to talk about some of the other places that you've seen, that you've been. But first, I want to talk about how this got started. It started with you as a child watching your mom, Gabriela.
Exactly.
Tell us about Gabriela a little bit.
My mother is from Mexico. I'm first generation. My mom ended up coming to L.A. when she was about 20 years old. And I was born in L.A. And she's always been an artist, painter and drawer. And when I was young, she decided to make the jump and open a business to teach children. That's kind of her main passion.
And so noble. First of all, that's a noble cause right there. And,
totally.
And it takes all the patience in the world, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. She is famously the most patient person I know.
Okay.
Nice. Which makes her a really great mother.
Right.
So she opened the studio in Downey, in South LA, and it just kept growing. And I grew up in the studio, basically. I learned pottery for the first time at the studio, and it was just a blast being able to grow up in the studio. When I was little, I always thought, when I grow up, I want to be able to work in the studio along with my mom, too. So we were in LA for a while, but then we ended up moving to OC.
Right.
When I was a middle school age child, and so then we did close the studio in LA.
Okay.
And the studio kind of took a little bit of a shelf life because my mom was focusing on other things.
Right.
Being in OC, you know, we got really busy with us in school with my younger sister. But then once I graduated high school, we decided to open the studio again in Mission Viejo.
Okay.
And so we haven't really stopped ever since. And we moved to Laguna because we love Laguna.
Right.
This is the beach that I came to when I was a child.
Right.
Never went to any LA beach. We always went to.
Well, it's impossible not to love this place. It really is. Well, I mean, once you it gets a hold on you once you cross our path. Here.
Oh, yeah. And my mom, being an artist,
right?
She always loved coming to the pageant, to Sawdust, to the galleries. I grew up here. Coming here, and then we moved here about 8 years ago.
Okay.
I opened the studio, and we decided to do pottery only studio this time about 4 years ago here in Laguna.
Okay, and pottery only, it's not just it's utilitarian pottery.
Yeah,
and explain
totally.
What that is.
Yeah, so I think the main driving force was just people being so interested, and me as well, learning more about it within the studio. I didn't really go to a formal education for ceramics, which is kind of the beauty of it too.
Right.
Somebody could really just take it up at home and just kind of get into it and learn and grow from there.
You teach yourself really as you do it, right?
Oh, totally. Right. It's really practice and trial and error.
how much trial compared to how much error, right?
A lot, but like anything else, I think it's the greatest teacher, you know?
Right.
It teaches you patience, teaches you impermanence, you know.
Right.
And so that's how I learned. And then coming to Laguna, we saw that there wasn't a lot of spaces that a lot of art spaces for sure, but for people to come in and actually work on a hobby and learn something new. So that's why we decided to open in Laguna.
Right.
And I mean, pottery is just the best. You get to make pieces that you can make, like you said, completely utilitarian.
Right.
it's you can share them. A lot of people end up making so many pieces that it becomes a great gift to give away. But yeah, it's the best kind of form of working with art, because you really are using all the natural parts of earth, air, water, fire. It's all of it all together.
Right. If I'm a starter, if I've never ever thought of making pottery of any kind, what's the easiest thing for me to start with?
Okay, so there's kind of two streams when you go into pottery. You've got hand building, which is working on the table and sculpting.
Right.
And then you've got throwing on the wheel.
Okay.
I would say it depends. Hand building technically could be more easy than throwing, but most students that come in through the doors want to learn how to be on the wheel.
Right. It seems like the most fun.
It's a lot of fun. Right. It is a lot of fun. But it is also the most technical. It's the most slow to start to really learn how to do well. Mm-hmm. It took me like a good year when I first started of just doing it every day in order to feel confident in my pieces and thickness of pieces and height.
Right.
So all of it is fun. But I would say getting started, we do like a one-time class, which does one project of both.
Right.
Small pieces, but it's a good hook class for people that are interested and can kind of get a little bit more of a feel of working on the table and then working on the wheel.
Okay. And no longer focused on just kids. You're teaching adults as well.
Exactly.
Is there a different learning curve, or are kids easier to teach?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. It also depends on each teacher. I love both. Children are the best. They're awesome.
They really are.
They really are. Yeah. And we start at age five or seven, which is such a fun age.
You skip six totally if you're six? No, you got to be five or seven to start, right?
Well, we start at five for like the intro class.
Right.
But because our classes are 2 hours long, five sometimes is a little tough.
Your attention span wanes a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's totally fine too. Kids are fun. They take direction well. Kids are more creative overall.
There we go.
And they are also very detached. They're okay if something messes up.
Right. Right.
Adults.
They're not ego driven.
Exactly.
Adults are ego driven.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. And that's the lesson, biggest lesson that we teach our students, mainly the adults, like you said, is the detachment, the losing of the ego. You know, we don't have to feel like we see ourselves within these pieces and then have to make sure that these pieces survive.
Right.
It's the technicality that we're learning, and then it's just the love of doing it.
Right. I have a friend of mine who's a great artist and a great ceramicist, is that the right word?
Uh-huh.
George Dubin, who purposely puts an imperfection in some of his work.
Yeah.
And I find that's the epitome of not having ego.
Right.
You create a perfect piece and you know what? I'm going to put my thumb in it or something like
right.
that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's also your mark. It's your signature too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true. So your patience, did you get patience from your mom? Did you inherit that from your mom and the ability to teach?
Definitely. I don't know exactly where. So I've been teaching in so many different forms. I was actually a swim coach, swim teacher for some time.
Oh.
I taught English in Spain. I lived in Spain for a little bit too.
Right. Wow.
So I've taught in many different ways.
Right.
Patience definitely from my mom. I have less patience than her.
Okay.
However, she has like 100% patience, right? So I think I have a good amount.
You're like at 97%, right?
Yeah, well, okay. I don't know. But learning how to teach really also teaches you how to be patient too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Spain. I know that Spain and Mexico, artistically, what do you see, what do you consume differently here than we would see in Spain, than we would see in Mexico?
Wow. Well, the beautiful thing, if we're talking about pottery, pottery is the most ancient art.
Right.
I mean, if you dig up a person in Egypt, we've got pieces next to him.
Right.
And that's why what I love about it. It's also multicultural. Right. You've got Japanese art, Japanese pottery that is super meticulous.
Right.
And then also, you know, having to do with certain parts of their culture, Korean pottery, you have a lot of kimchi moon jars. Mexican pottery is really beautiful and so expansive. Mexico is huge, and it has just so many different pockets of different kinds of pottery, like Talavera from Puebla, which is very colorful and designed. And then you've got black clay, Barro Negro, from Oaxaca. So many different ways. In Spain, I saw a lot of mosaic type pottery. You might see like the blue and the white glazed looking pieces. That's all Spain, Portugal. Right. So it was really cool to be able to experience it. And then in the States, of course, you've got the American Indian pottery, the right. Navajo, very cool, kind of more rugged. States is interesting always because all of those come together and you are able to see them in any pottery studio. You might see a kintsugi or a raku firing, and all of these are stemmed from different kinds of cultures.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for the clarity of that response. That was really cool. So if I'm a student and walk in today for the very first time, in a year, in 2 years, am I able to make those different types of pieces? Will I be learning about those different types of pieces from different areas?
A lot of the aesthetics in pottery are ingrained in the curriculum.
Okay.
Anywhere you go, really. For example, a raku firing, which stems from Japan, is something that's always part of a curriculum for somebody who's learning in normally like a school, like a college.
Right.
But a lot of them, we use a lot of terms like wabi-sabi is another Japanese term, a lot of Japan.
Right.
And all having to do with aesthetics. And then, down the line, it's really cool to be able to learn how to create or recreate certain things from all over. But at our studio, we love to teach. A lot of people like to come in and show us examples of different things they want to create.
Right.
But more than anything, we cover a lot of beginners. You know, I have to shout out all the locals here in Laguna that have been supporting us since we started.
Right.
A lot of them are either retired or they work. They have a day job, but then they come after work or during the day and they are able to create. And it really is a hobby. We're a hobbyist studio. I call it kind of like a boutique pottery studio.
Okay.
Because of space alone.
Right.
But I think it's what makes it really beautiful. It's a little small niche community. And I just love what we do. And I love the people that come in.
Right. And can you pick someone out? Like, for instance, a child who creates something. Can you immediately go, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be an artist. This girl's going to be an artist. This is someone who has a future in it.
There are people that inherently have it for sure.
Right.
Not to say that not everybody can do it.
Right.
I'm a huge proponent of anybody's creative and anybody could be an artist.
Right.
I really don't like when people say, oh, I can't draw or I'm not an artist.
Right.
I'm not creative because, I mean, we were all children once and we all were creative at one point.
Right.
To some capacity. Right. So, but that being said, you can totally see it. Some, and it is here and there. It's actually... it does happen more often than not, especially with the kids. You can really see.
Right.
Yeah.
Do small hands help?
Small hands can definitely help. It's funny. It's one of the manager here in Laguna. Her name is Annika. Shouting her out. She's amazing.
Right.
She has very small hands.
Okay.
So she says that it could be definitely a benefit, especially with throwing.
Right.
Or if you have long arms on the wheel to be able to like get in a little bit easier. But either way. Doesn't really matter.
Okay, I don't. They're not small. I've got big hands, so I think I can only make plates. I mean, you know what I mean.
No. You can do it all.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I love that. Thank you very much. I was looking for that response actually. So our listeners, if they wanted to come in and take a class, you mentioned they're a couple hours long. Can they choose once a week? Can they do once a day? Do they get the choice of how often they go?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. So we have like three different categories that we like to work with. The first is kind of just getting people through the door and trying it out, which is the one-time class and our wheel-thrown planter class. Beginner, and they're about an hour long. So that's an easy one to be able to commit to.
Right.
Also really great for like events, group parties, things like that. That's what we focus on.
Right.
After that, we do ongoing classes, and ongoing classes are for people that are really wanting to learn from the beginning. And those are 2 hours long every time they come in. They have access to be able to come in earlier or stay later to practice what they've learned. So that's definitely for people that are wanting to learn more and be a little bit more in depth.
Right.
And then after that, we do also offer workshops for people that want to try it out. Same kind of deal as the first kind, but that's where we do specialty things like the kintsugi workshop. We do a mug workshop. We do a sound bath and hand building workshop.
Wow. Oh, so in see, that's interesting right there.
Yeah, okay. That's actually what I really love about where we're heading. We started as a pottery studio, but we really wanted to make it niche. I had so many students coming up to me and saying, this is like therapy.
Right.
Working with my hands and working with the clay is therapy. So I really wanted to make it a bit of more intentional business and really focus on bringing in wellness as well.
Yeah.
So we started with the sound bath and hand building workshop. And that's a sound bath happening as you're creating. It's our first open concept workshop, which means there's no project at hand. Whatever you're feeling, the energy that you receive from the music, from the sound, is freehand for you to be able to create.
I love this.
Yeah.
Love this. Way to be that expansive, way to be creative. And we're being creative within a creative field. There's nothing cooler than that.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. It's very tactile. You get your hands dirty. It's very therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you have that stress ball on your desk.
Right.
It's like, you know, you get a piece of clay and you just pound it and mold it and make it into something, and it's very therapeutic.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, I was lucky enough to have the teacher Bill Darnell when I was in high school here at the Laguna Beach High School.
Yes.
And I always look forward to that class to kind of de-stress in the middle of my day in high school.
Yeah.
And I also went did a ceramics class in college just for the same reason.
Wonderful.
You know,
did the
Roku.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so this is very exciting. And we are so excited to be able to have a chamber night with you.
Oh, yes, I'm excited about
That's going to be on Tuesday, April 30th from 6 to 8 p.m.
Yes.
And we're going to be doing the beginner class, right?
Yeah, the one-time class, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, because it's a chamber night, we're going to be bringing, you know, some snacks and drinks and
some
stuff.
Libations.
And make it a...
Yeah.
Yes,
to make it social.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
Be sure and wipe your hands off before you grab a snack, though, of course, right?
Right, so, right.
Well, not really. It doesn't matter. Anything will burn off in the kiln.
Okay.
So it's right. Totally fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, and the clays. Do you utilize different types of clay for different pieces or different projects?
There are definitely different kinds of clay, starting from color alone to texture,
right,
and then firing range as well.
Okay.
So there's technical things to it, but it depends. Some people want really thin, nice, delicate pieces, so you would use porcelain.
Okay.
And then if you want something that's more utilitarian, that won't break if you hit it up against something, then we use more earthenware or stoneware.
Okay. All right. And how can our listeners find you?
So, obviously, coming in and meeting us in person,
right.
We're on Ocean Avenue, 450 Ocean in Laguna. We have our website, and that's just our name, ourtimeborrow.com. And then we're pretty active on social media as well, on Instagram.
Okay. And what is the Instagram handle?
Ourtimeborrow.
Ourtimeborrow.
Yep.
And that's ArtimeBarro.
Yes. And barro means clay in Spanish.
Barro means clay in Spanish.
I got to say it.
That was going to be my last question.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Erin, thank again.
Yes.
Yet again, another home run for us. Thank you so much for bringing
her in. We're
so
happy to have Nicole here this morning. Thank you for being here.
And Chamber Night is on the 30th. It's a Tuesday. It goes from 6 to 8, you said?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look
so we're going to get our hands dirty, and we're going to get some networking done at the same time and have a good time.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
What else you got going here?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have our mixer coming up at Bodega, and that is next Wednesday, April 17th from 5:30 to 7:30. We're excited to be able to host that at Bodega. Gosh, we have a beach cleanup. The Laguna Ocean Foundation and Ritual Refill are partnering with the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce. And so we're doing a beach cleanup on April 20th. And that's going to be in North Laguna, on one of the North Laguna beaches.
Yes. I'll be out on the kayak for that, cleaning up the ocean, cleaning up plastic.
Perfect.
So yes.
Get all the floating stuff.
Get all the floating
yes.
stuff. Yeah. All the Mylar balloons that are no longer allowed
in
town. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Our next ribbon cutting is 2 weeks from yesterday, April 25th. We have the Museum of Make-Believe Ribbon Cutting.
Yes.
We're so excited to have this new museum coming to town.
Yes.
It's right across from the Surf and Sand, and it's going to be so much fun. Last night, we actually had a ribbon cutting at the Jesse Reese Foundation, which we were making joy jars, and it was just so much fun. Oh, my gosh. I highly recommend, if you didn't get a chance to come and join us yesterday, to go check it out yourself. You can get a tour of the facility. They've only been in that building in Irvine for 1 year, and it's just an amazing organization. It's all about bringing joy to children who have gotten that diagnosis of cancer. Right. Mm. It's not about finding the cure. It's about giving the care to those that need to get, you know, built up so that they can survive.
It's
wonderful. Yes. Yeah. So we also have our spring sidewalk sale coming up. That is on April 27th. So similar to Small Business Saturday, all of the storefronts here in Laguna can move out onto the sidewalk. And it's a time for our residents to come out and support our local businesses. It'll be fun. I know Joelle's working on some games that we can play.
Excellent.
And then, of course, on April 30th, we're going to be having some play time at Art Time Borrow.
Yay.
We have Mark McAvoy, who's going to be our Government Affairs Committee speaker on May 2nd. And then we have solo shows ribbon cutting on May 2nd. Okay. So that is what took over right next to the chocolate, Rocky Mountain Chocolate.
Yeah. I had them on a few weeks back for the Artist Corner. I love them. I absolutely love them. I love what they're doing. I love the concept behind it. I'm in. Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. So that is May 2nd. That's a Thursday evening. It's the same, you know, first Thursday art walk.
Yes.
So come to the ribbon cutting, then enjoy the art walk afterwards. They're going to have some of the artists there that are currently, you know, showing their artwork for a little sit down chit chat, and you can meet them and ask questions. So it should be a really good evening. Very fun.
Cool.
And then the next day on Friday, May 3rd, we have the Music Hall Foundation ribbon cutting, and that's going to be just prior to their event at the Rivian called California Happenings, which is all about the photography of a gentleman here in Laguna who participated in a lot of the festivals here in California in the 1968 to 1971. So if you're interested in that time period, you have to check out this event.
Wow.
Of course, we have our golf tournament, and that is presented by Visit Laguna Beach. Yes. We are so excited to have our golf tournament at Strawberry Farms this year. It's going to be a fun day out. We've got a lot of people participating as vendors and golfers, though we still need some swag for our swag bags, and we still are looking for silent auction items. Okay. So if you want to participate in our silent auction, just give us a call or a quick email. We have Pageant of the Masters that is on July 3rd. So that is our locals night to come out and support the chamber and support the festival and be able to share how fabulous the Pageant of the Masters is the rest of the summer with all of our visitors. And of course, Oak has a special offer for those who are purchasing our pageant tickets. So for the July 3rd night, you can get a burger beach box meal for two people.
Right.
Normal price $70, only $40.
Yeah, that is a steal at any price. I'm not kidding. They may have the best burger in town. Period.
Well, it's an award-winning burger. So it's amazing.
It comes with a medal on it. You got to take the medal off.
And that is everything on my list to mention today, I think.
Well, Nicole, she mentioned we were doing something at Bodegas coming up soon. Have you eaten at Bodega?
I've had a drink at Bodega.
Okay, so you need to eat there because it is authentic. It is like the literally authentic Mexicana.
I love it.
It really is. And that brings me to my next question.
Okay.
So you're an artist. You're artistically involved. Do you cook?
And oh, my gosh.
Okay. Cooking is an art.
I love to cook.
Okay.
And it totally is an art.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I love to cook, yeah. And I'm learning, actually, a lot of Mexican dishes recently.
Yeah.
I have my tia coming over.
Okay.
I just learned how to make pozole.
Okay. Tell the audience what pozole is.
Pozole is actually one of my favorite Mexican dishes. It's a soup.
Okay.
But it is the most, or one of the most indigenous foods of Mexico.
Right.
It was said to have been like a sacrification soup in the time of the Aztecs.
Right.
We don't do that anymore.
we cut one thing out of it. Yeah, one ingredient is a sacrifice.
Okay. Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, it's a lot of symbolism.
Too. Right.
And so it's it can be many different ways, but my way that I cook it is it has to be red,
okay,
and it has to be with pork,
okay,
and it has hominy in it, and it's just really delicious soup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and actually, that is our traditional Christmas Eve dinner at my family.
Oh my goodness.
Is the pozole soup. My mom does her bone broth from scratch for it.
Wow.
And then the fun part is that you like have all the toppings in different bowls, and people can put whatever toppings they want on top of the pozole soup.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, the main ingredient, hominy. Yes.
Hominy is the star.
I'm making myself a note right now. Holiday dinner at your house. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now, man.
You make
I'm telling
them on
you.
This too?
No.
Some families do.
Okay, some families make, I missed that. Some families make
tamales.
Okay, the tamales. Yeah, okay.
The Christmas tamales are very famous. And we have our Presbyterian church that always sells tamales at hospitality night.
Right, and they're delicious, yes.
Yes.
All right, so here's what I'm doing. I'm going to your house first, and then I'm coming to yours for the tamales afterwards.
Nice.
All right. Nicole Pareda, thank you so very much for being here. We will see you on the 30th.
Yes.
If not before then.
Yes.
And once again, give the audience your contact information so we can get in touch with you and get and take a class or two.
Totally. We're very active on our social media, on Instagram, Art Time Borrow, and then on our website, www.arttimeborrow.com. Please reach out to us. Please visit us in town. We're open every day, 7 days a week, 11 to 8 p.m.
All right. Fantastic. Yeah,
and of course, they are on the chamber directory because
they are
a chamber member.
That's right.
And we hope that we'll see several of you sign up today for our Tuesday, April 30th chamber night at Art Time Borrow.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Aaron, Nicole, thank you so very much,
both of you,
for being here on Chamber Chat. A joy.
Thank you.
All right. 8:27 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show. Jimi Hendrix.